Alright, let's go ahead and turn into your Bibles back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to just real quickly review what we saw 2 weeks ago and verses 1 to 3, but also we're going to be covering verses 4 and 5 today, as we have on your outline. I want to first again just thank Kurt for filling in for me last week as my son and I took a little vacation, and so we had a great time. And again, thank you for continuing to preach the word. With that, we're going to get right into 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and just kind of again, like I said, review what we talked about 2 weeks ago, because we're now entering this chapter and dealing with like the persecution and the trials and tribulations that the Thessalonians are going through. And at this time, both Silas and Timothy and Paul, they're in Greece. And they hear about what's going on, and they're really concerned about them. So what they do is dispatch Timothy to be able to go to Thessalonica to be able to see how they're doing in their faith. And that's, if you look at it starting in verse 1, it says this: "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." So 2 weeks ago, we covered these first three verses, and we entitled the message, really, Comfort Their Faith, all right? Because that's what the purpose of Timothy going to them was all about, is being able to comfort them in their faith, to be able to establish and help them in the midst of those trials and tribulations. One of the things I've said before, and probably will continue to say down the road, is that really the proof of your Christianity, and the rubber meets the road when you're going through trials and tribulations. It's easy to be a Christian in a sense when everything is going well. All the bills are paid, everything seems to be fine, cars working and all that, job is, everything is going well. But when we start having problems in various different areas, it's like that's when we really see how well our faith is doing. And we also talked about back then how those kind of trials and tribulations will do a couple of things. Either it'll help you grow in your faith, or it can actually move you away if you are not focused on trusting the Lord through those situations. And that's why Paul was so concerned, was that these trials and tribulations, and of course, as we'll talk a little bit more even today, how Satan will use things and trials and tribulations and tough times to be able to try to get you to falter in your faith, to move away from your faith, not to be able to grow in Christ. So Paul was concerned because he doesn't want, obviously, that to happen to the Thessalonians. He wants to see them grow and get to the place that when they stand before the Lord at the judgment and see to Christ, that they too will be rewarded. So today we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. It says this in verse 4: "For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." So today we're going to talk about knowing their faith, or really the reason why Paul is sending Timothy to them to be able to see exactly how they are doing. And in verse 4, we'll talk about repetition, because obviously this is something that Paul has told them before. You're going to go through tribulations. If you're living for the Lord, you are going to go through some problems on this planet. But then we're also going to look at investigation in a sense in verse 5, where they're, again, he's seeking to see how they are doing. He's concerned about his investment. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get starting what we need to see today out of verses 4 and 5. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for all that you do. I pray that you continue to be with us, be with our church family that are not able to be here today, Lord, and just continue to be with them, help them to learn, continue to grow in the Word. And Father, as always, that we lift each other up in prayer. And Father, I pray that you help us to focus in on your Word today and what you have for us. Lord, help us to understand the importance of growing in our faith. The importance of really saying things over and over again in the Word of God. It's important for us to have that repetition, to be able to understand. Because a lot of times when we go through trials and tribulations, we tend to forget. We tend not to focus on what that you can be doing and teaching us and for us to depend on you. So Lord, I pray that you give us some understanding today. Help us to be able to apply the truth of your word to our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at it starting in verse 4. First of all, it says this: "For verily when we were with you." So Paul is reminding the Thessalonians when Timothy, Paul, and Silas, that ministry team, was there in Thessalonica, there ministering to the Thessalonians. He's saying, "For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." He said, hey, you know these things. And what Paul is doing right here is just repeating and telling them again, hey, you know that this is going to happen. It really shouldn't be a surprise. One of the things that we've looked at this verse before, and I'm not going to have you turn there, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it talks about, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And it's like, I wish I could stand up here and say, hey, you know what? You accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then everything is going to be hunky-dory fine. You will never experience any problems. Everything is going to go great in your life. If I did, I would be a lying preacher. That's just not the reality. The reality is I need to make sure to equip all of us in the Word of God and saying, hey, this is what's going to happen, but it's okay. Remember, God's not going to put us through something that we're not equipped to handle. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. God is faithful. He's not going to put us through anything that we're not able to bear. He is going to make a way for us to escape it, to be able to bear it. That's a promise that we have. Again, I'm not taking the time to go to that scripture right now, but I want you to understand that from the get-go. That God is not going to put us through something that we're not able and ready to be able to handle. Now, as we look at verse 4 again, you see that this is whole idea of repetition. Paul is telling them, hey, we told you that you're going to go through suffering. You're going through suffering. It's come to pass that is taking place. You know these things. And this is not the only time we see this kind of thing in the Word of God where there's this repetition. I want you to go back to the Old Testament real quick, the book of Job. And I think it's fitting for us to go back as we talk about trials and tribulations. It's like everybody, I think, is kind of familiar with the book of Job and all the troubles that he went through. And, you know, he lost really what would be compared to all of his income. He lost all of his livestock and everything that was going on. He had 10 kids that died in one instant right then and there. And it's like all these things were happening to Job, and then all of a sudden he loses his health as well. I want you to go to Job chapter 33. Now, this is one of the guys that's actually, he is the human author of the book of Job. We studied this a couple of years ago. The guy named Elihu. I want you to go to Job chapter 33, and I want you to look down at verse 14. Because what Elihu says here is so true, and still is today. All right, it says this in Job chapter 33, in verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. It's like God says something, and then he says it again, and we're still not paying attention. We're still not getting it. If you've ever taught somebody anything, I don't care what it is, whether it's on your job, maybe you're in a manager, supervisor position, or just you're the trainee or whatever the case is. In my job, that's what I'm getting ready to go training for in a couple of months, being called an FTO, dealing with a field training officer, where the next person that's going to be hired, I'll be responsible for training them up in what we do at our job. And so, you know, and I've obviously taught a number of things throughout the years, but if any of us ever taught somebody anything, a lot of times, you just don't tell them something the first time and then that's it. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I've had people teaching in karate, show them once and they got it down. But that's very rare. You usually got to show them and tell them over and over again because the first couple times they're not even paying attention. All right? Or if you're happening to be a public speaker, you're teaching something, or you're doing some sort of presentation, you can bet that the first time you say something, maybe even the second time you say something, people are not really paying attention. All right? That's why I try to say, repeat things over and over again, like where we're going to go, because that's just human nature. And God understands and knows that. Yeah, he's going to say it once, say it twice, and then, you know, man perceiveth it not. So it usually takes, I guess, three times to finally get our attention. All right? And so there's this idea of, like, dealing with repetition in Scripture over and over again, because a lot of times we simply just don't perceive it. We just don't get it. A lot of times in the Bible, there's stories that repeat itself over and over again. I've heard it once said that really all the doctrine that's laid out in the Word of God is you can find in the first 11 chapters in Genesis, and the rest of the Bible is this repetition of really dealing with those doctrines. All right? That sort of thing. And it makes sense, the book of the beginnings. But we'll see that Paul also talks about and repeats often things that are going on. Let's go back to the New Testament, and let's go to the book of Philippians this time. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 3 and write in verse 1. Philippians chapter 3. In verse 1, we'll come back to this book later in this message, but I just want you to notice what he says in the first verse of Philippians chapter 3. Again, another church that was going through some persecution and some trials, and he says this, though. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Paul says, it's not grieving me, it's not a heartache for me to write the same thing to you. If you have a question and I've already answered that question and you have another question still about it, it's not grievous. It's not a problem. Let me do that because you know what? It is safe for you. All right? It's going to help you out. It's going to make sure to help you along the way because, again, I like to say it's like, well, maybe there'll only be one time in your Christian life that you go through some suffering and once you get through it, everything's going to be fine. But again, I'd be a lying preacher. The reality is that as we go through life on this planet, there's going to be times where you're going to be going through some things. There's times when we have great rest and everything's fine, but then you're going to go through tribulations. And a lot of times, like I said, it's easy to forget. And so it's like we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. Oh, you remember when you went through this and God helped you? Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. Paul says it's not grievous to write these things again to you. For you, it is safe. The same guy, Timothy, that he is sending to the Thessalonians to check on their faith, I want you to notice what Paul tells Timothy in order to be a good minister. I want you to go to the book of 1 Timothy. We're in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. If you continue to the right, we'll have 2 Thessalonians, and then you'll have 1 Timothy after that. I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're just going to look down in verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 6, as you make your way there, give you a little bit of the context of this chapter. Paul is laying out the importance of sound doctrine. There's a lot of false doctrine that is out there that Timothy was having to deal with, and it's absolutely no different than what we have to deal with today. There's a lot of false teaching that is out there. So in chapter 4, he's stressing the importance of doctrine and making sure that you are teaching sound doctrine. And he says this in verse 6. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. And again, in the context of dealing with, hey, there's some bad doctrine out there. You need to make sure that people are solid in the truth of the Word of God. So he's saying, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. You see the growth of Timothy, what he has attained, what he has been taught. And Paul is saying, hey, you want to be a good minister, Timothy? Make sure you turn around and bring the brother in remembrance of these things. Continue to teach them. You need to do this over and over again so people are solid in the truth of the Word of God because there's a lot of deception that is out there. I'll give you one more reference before we move on to our next verse. I want you to go all the way, continue to the right, but to the book of 2 Peter. So closer to the end of the Bible, closer to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. But we're going to look at 2 Peter, and it's also going to be in chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to pick it up in verse 12. Now, again, Peter, his focus was doctrine to the Jews, dealing with the kingdom of heaven, and he's laying out truth to them. But I want you to notice what he says here. I think it's very interesting. I mean, this is a point in Peter's life where he's getting ready to die. And he dies a pretty gruesome death, actually. He's crucified. That's how he's put to death, but he didn't find himself worthy to be crucified in the same manner as the Lord Jesus Christ, and so he requested to be crucified upside down on a cross, and that's how Peter died. But he knows that this time is coming, that he's getting ready to die, and he says this in 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to look down in verse 12. It says this, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet or fit or right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, speaking of his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. In other words, he knew again that he was getting ready to die. So verse 15, it says this, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. In other words, Paul was concerned in making sure that they understood the truth of the Word of God that was laid out to them. And he's going to put them in remembrance over and over again as long as he was alive. As long as he was in this tabernacle, he was going to make sure that they would remember the truth that has been delivered unto them. All right? It's like this, really, these are the last words of what Peter is dealing with before he dies. He wants to make sure that those who that he's been ministering to understand the truth and not to forget it. So he repeats it, repeats it, repeats it. These are the last words of really Peter. Just like we talked about in 2 Timothy being the last words of Paul before he was martyred or put to death by Emperor Nero. And so that's what you have going on here, all right? I got to share this. It's like keeps on in my mind talking about repetition. We talk about last words. you know, some people, whether they're last words, you know, maybe it'd be very something, you know, that's going to help somebody out and things like that. When I was in Canada, that's where I got my feet wet and starting and dealing with law enforcement, and I was part of a victim service unit. And, you know, it's in dealing with that, we dealt with death notifications. I did a number of those. I did that volunteer job, for like 5 years. And so I was on call 24/7 and for 5 years in a row. So you can imagine the amount of death notifications that I assisted police officers in that. And, I mean, part of being a pastor, I mean, it was kind of natural in a sense for me to do that. It's not a pleasant job. But I remember one particular moment where this guy, he had heart problems, and and that night, they were having pizza and beer, and you know, Sam was like saying, "You probably shouldn't have that. It's probably not too good for your heart." You know what his last words are? "I'm going to live forever." So he had pizza and beer that night, died that night. So that was his last words, and it didn't obviously come true at all by any stretch of the imagination. But I mentioned something like that again, just in my head, that sort of thing. But you think about it. Paul knew that he was going to die. So he was giving important instructions to Timothy. "Hey, remember these things." Peter knew that he was getting ready to die. And so what was he telling the people? "Hey, remember these things. These are important." Now, imagine if you knew when you were going to die. What would be the last words you'd say? What would you communicate to people? What would you say? All right? Would it be things that are eternal to help them out? Or would it be like, "You know what? Give me some pizza and some beer. We'll call it good." All right? It is so important. And you think about this, and I don't want to digress on this because it's really not the focus of my message, but the things that God used Peter to say are forever in the Word of God that can help people. The things that God laid on Paul's heart are right here that still minister to us today. That we can have an effect on somebody's eternity in their life, even far after we are gone, if we're willing to communicate the truth of the Word of God. And there's going to be some people, it's like, yeah, they're not going to get it the first time they hear it. They're not going to get it the second time they hear it. Maybe they don't even get it the third time. But as long as they have a heart that they want to understand, what should we be doing? Telling them the truth over and over again until they understand, until they get it. Because, again, it gets us right back to our vision this year. What is it? Preaching the Word. Sharing the truth of the Word of God. Let's get back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 because we need more to cover here and a lot to get going. So repetition is so important. Like I said, anything that you have done that you are gotten proficient at, it's because you probably have done it over and over again. There's people who are natural talents, all right? When I look at my world and when I used to be a professional musician and starting out playing drums, jazz, percussion, when I started out in fifth grade, it was just a natural thing. Had a drum, a snare drum, got the sticks, and all of a sudden, I just started playing. It's just like I knew how to play. But that wasn't the end of it. There was a lot of practice, hours and hours and hours of practice. I would practice, no problem, 2.5 hours a day just to get better and better to a place I was able to play professionally. And I was able to go to college. I was part of my scholarship and all that. But it took repetition of doing that. And in martial arts, you know, I was just doing a move, just goofing around at work this week. And one of the guys was like, "Looks like you've done that a few times." And I was like, "Yeah, a few times. Thousands of times, to where it's just natural. I don't have to think about it." You know, repetition, putting the effort in. Well, guess what? Christianity, if you want to walk in the Spirit and not according to the flesh, you know what it takes? The repetition of being in the Word of God over and over and over again, so that when the trials come, when the afflictions come, whatever it is, you respond, not react in emotion, the react in flesh, you respond according to what the Word of God says. And the only way that happens is the repetition of being in the Word over and over and over again. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's pick it up. I'll read from verse 4, go into verse 5. It says, "For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." It says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith." The title of this message today, "Know Their Faith. Lest by some means the tempter hath tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Now, there's three things we need to look at in verse 5. And first of all, we're talking about, for this cause, when he could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. It's like, I have got to see how you are doing. That's why I'm sending you Timothy. I've got to get a report back. All right? I can't forbear. I can't stand it anymore. I've got to know how you're doing in your faith. And this is something that I speak to us parents, especially with, I mean, obviously with younger kids, but even our adult kids. If they're away from us and they're living on their own and things like that, it's like we still want to, we're concerned about how they're doing. I got to spend a week with my son, you know, over a week, being in New Mexico, having a fun time, you know, checking out the aliens in Roswell. It was a great time. Got to do a lot, see a lot, and so forth. I mean, it was, you know, it's like an 11-hour trip down there and stuff like that. So we had plenty of time to talk and catch up. I mean, he lives in Kansas City, and we're down here, obviously. He's an adult. He's 28. And it's like we don't get to spend a lot of time together, quality time. Yeah, we text and so forth, call, whatever. See him every once in a while. I'm up in Kansas City. But to have that kind of concentrated time has been awesome. And part of that is just, hey, getting to know their faith. How is he doing? For him to be able to see how I am doing as well. I want you to turn to Proverbs real quick. Proverbs chapter 27. I want you to look in verse 23. This might seem familiar to some of you because last year this was my personal vision and direction that I had for me and my growth, you know, and as a pastor even. It says in Proverbs chapter 27 down in verse 23. Great verse. I mean, it's not just obviously to apply for as a pastor, but anybody that is in any kind of leadership position. And if you're a parent, you're in a leadership position with your kids. It says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds." It's like, do you really know where your kids are at? Do you really know where, if you, again, in a supervisor, manager position at work, do you know where your people that you're in charge of, where they're at and what they're doing? I mean, it's a great reference that can apply to a lot of things, but it's like actually knowing where people are at and how they're doing. That is so important, I think, especially in our world today. All of us, we've come through last year. We remember last year. 2020, seemed to last for 2 years. I mean, the pandemic and all the other stuff, people being separated, social distancing and everything like that. And it's like a lot of people, I mean, unfortunately, died not because of COVID, but because of suicide. Depressed. Not being around people, not being able to talk to people, whatever. That sort of thing. It's like, it's so important for us to know where people are at. We're not talking about being nosy. But say, hey, how are you doing? What's really going on? You know, so I talked about the importance of face-to-face contact in a few messages ago, a few weeks ago, whatever it was, that face-to-face contact is so important because communication is more than just what is said. It's also what you see. Right? And somebody can say, oh, I'm doing fine, but you can see in their body, in their countenance, that they are not doing fine. And that's when we say, hey, are you sure you're doing okay? Is there something going on? Can I help you? Can I pray for you? Can I share something with you? Whatever. What can I do to help you? What's your state? How are you doing? You see the same thing. I want you to go back to the New Testament, but to the book of Colossians, just a couple of pages before where we're at in 1 Thessalonians. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. A lot of times we're good as human beings at putting the mask on. You know, we don't want people to know that we're maybe not doing fine or whatever the case is. Or, you know, we put on a good show for people. I know a lot of times people that go through depression and just there's no rhyme or reason why they are. They're just depressed. But they'll put a nice smiley face on because, they don't want whatever. They want people to be concerned or whatever. They don't want to deal with it, whatever the case is. And it's like, it is so important, I think, especially in biblical Christianity, to be real with people. Notice what Paul says. Again, Paul's in prison at this time, all right, when he's writing this. And he says this in Colossians chapter 4. I want you to look in verse 7. I'm going to read down through verse 9. Paul says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here." And the first thing I want you to understand in verse 7 is those first three words, "all my state." And I want to emphasize the very first word of that verse, "all." A lot of times we'll tell people some, you know, maybe a little bit. Paul is like, Tychicus is going to tell you everything that's going on with me. I want you to understand that. Why? Because, you know, Paul asked for prayer. We see it even later in this passage, he's asking for prayer. He wants the people to know everything that's going on. The good, the bad, and the ugly, whatever it is, it's like, hey, I need you to be praying about these things, and that the Lord will continue to give me open doors and opportunities to share the truth, even though I'm in prison. You got to tell them everything that's going on. But I also want to know everything that's going on with them. Why? So that Paul could be praying for them. I try to be as real as I can. And if you ask me, it's like, hey, Charles, how you doing? If you ask me that right now, I'd be like, well, you know what? I'm a little bit tired. Worked 12 hours last night. At the casino, they had their first show since the pandemic, and it was Tiger King. I don't know if you all saw that. They had some people that were on that documentary or whatever. I watched 5 minutes of that show on Netflix. 5 minutes. I'm like, I am not investing any more time in this. Now I may be stepping on some toes. I mean, I know some people out there that love, you know, whatever, Joe Exotic or whatever his name is, and the whole Carol Baskin to what happened to so-and-so. What was it, her husband? I don't care. But they had, like, some people that were part of the show and so forth and so on, and I originally thought when I heard this, I would not be working or it would be done when I got into work, because I work nights. It's like, hey, I start at 9 o'clock. This is going to be done. But then I find out there's a couple other agents on vacation and I need to work 12 hours. So I'm there for the whole thing. You know, and God bless them. It's just not my thing, all right? That sort of thing. It's not my thing. But I'm tired. But since I work 6 to 6, I was able to sleep an hour and a half before church, but I'm still tired. I know once I am done, I'm going to be tired. And I got to go home, go back to bed, to go back to work, because I still have to work tonight. I'm tired. You know, I'm not maybe the most talkative. It's like, well, you're talking kind of a lot, right? I'm tired. I don't mind telling you. I'm tired. Hey, Charles, how are you doing spiritually? Well, you know, I think I'm doing good. I'm progressing. But you know what? I still make stupid mistakes. I've been saved for 33 years. And guess what? I still battle this flesh and I still battle sin. I'm not going to sit up here and think, hey, I got it all together. No. I still deal with the flesh. I still deal with sin. I still deal with wrong thoughts. I still deal with if people don't drive according to my liking. Especially since I used to be a traffic cop. Where did you get your license? Come on! It's called the byway. It's 55 miles an hour. Why are we going slow? I'm sorry, Dexter. You know, I know. He's like, yeah, I understand, Pastor. You need some loving right now. Hello. That's my state. And a lot of times we try to hide things and think, and then we struggle on our own, and we don't even talk to God about it. And it's like, okay, God's all-knowing, right? God knows what's in our heart. He knows the struggles that we're going through, and He wants to help us through those things. But we sit there and we just like, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody anything. I'm just going to keep it to myself. Again, it's not about being nosy or anything like that, but God has not designed the body of Christ like we talked about a few weeks ago and talked about biblical racism, or not racism, but how biblically how we deal with races. I mean, we're just all one. We're a human race. And it's like we go through struggle. We're not designed to do this Christian walk alone. That's why God compares the body of Christ to the human body. We need our body working together to help one another out. And when one part of the body is hurting, the rest of the body is going to be affected. So Paul is like, hey, here's what's going on with me. Let me tell you everything. And I want to know what's going on in your life so I can help you and pray for you as well. You go back to 1 Thessalonians. This is so important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. How are you doing? And the reason why? Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you. That tempter, of course, we know it's the devil, Satan, the adversary. Paul understood that when we go through trials and tribulations, that, man, that's a perfect opportunity for Satan to use that to lead people away from Christ.
so that they're not growing in their walk in their relationship. They're not trusting God through the situation.
So Paul says, I got to know what's going on. Because I know Satan's out there trying to use this. Because it's like, sin is something, the car breaks down, get a flat tire, whatever the case is. Satan's right there to whisper in your ear. Well, if God really loved you, you know, this wouldn't be happening. Everything would be nice and easy. God doesn't love you. If He loved you, you wouldn't be going through this. That's what Satan's doing.
How about this? You know what? You know, I know it's, and you're having a tough time. Just take it easy. You know, don't worry about it. God doesn't mind.
A few weeks ago, man, Patricia and I were watching, I don't know if you've seen the movie on Netflix. It's called Greater. Based on a true story. Good football story. Chris, I mean, you look at this, if you've ever seen it, it's like, this guy seems like he has no business trying to play football. It's like, why don't you just give up?
But he doesn't. Faith in God, and just, he wanted to go to Alabama, Razorback. You know, that's what his desire was, to make the team. I mean, he had every kind of struggle. But he did it, and got to the place where he was All-American, got to the place where he was signed by the Colts. But he died in a car accident. I mean, I don't think I'm giving away the movie. I mean, but maybe I am.
But there's one point. His brother was struggling with his faith. He was at the funeral, and he's there at the football field, and it's this old guy. He's just whittling there. You just know he is a perfect picture of Satan.
Just trying to lead him down. Well, the guy was, why would, if God is, go God, why would he have this happen to your brother? I mean, it was like, if you haven't seen it, see it. It's a great movie. It's been out there for a while. It's a great movie. But that's what Satan does.
He sees that you're hurting. He sees that you're down, going through a little struggle. That's when he comes in.
God doesn't love you. If he loved you, you wouldn't be going through this.
You think God's going to care about you? Look at you. Look what you've done in your life.
He doesn't care about you. That's why you're going through this stuff. That's Satan.
And Paul understands that, and it's like, man, I got to know how you're doing, because I know how Satan works. I want you to just turn back to the book of 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Again, Paul's concerned for the Corinthians. I mean, this is what Paul, the people that he invested his life in and eternity in, he's concerned. He wants to make sure they stay on the right track. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to look at the first three verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. He says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So what he's talking about being espoused, it's the same word as engaged. For us have been married, we had engaged, you know, and then we had the wedding. And that's what we are right now. If we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are engaged to hopefully be married to the Lord someday when He comes back for the church. And so Paul talks about, you know, I've espoused you, okay? I'm getting you ready for that day. But he has a concern, verse 3. It says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul's concern for the Corinthians is that Satan would come and beguile them, to deceive them from the simplicity that is in Christ. He wants them to be married to Christ, but he's concerned that day won't happen because the tempter is going to come and beguile you. And I want you to notice what it says there again in verse 3. But I fear lest by, notice these two words, any means. Satan will literally use any means to try to hinder your relationship with Christ. Any means. And we have to be on guard for that. And Paul is aware of that. And that's why he wants to continue to repeat and show the Corinthians, or show the Philippians, or show the Thessalonians, say, hey, you know these things. We are sharing these things with you because we want you to make sure that you know them so that you're not led astray by the tempter. Since we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I want you to look at one more spot, just a little bit further down in verse 13. 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 says this. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Remember, Satan will use any means, including imitating Christ and looking like this is a good thing. In verse 14 it says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Indeed, he will use any means possible to be able to try to tempt you, to lead you astray from following Christ. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and verse 5, and pick up the last thing. We'll be finished. It says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter hath tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Paul was always concerned about the investment, the work that he put into the lives of others and their relationship with the Lord would be in vain because they would just stop following God. Now we know, according to the Word of God, we can't lose our salvation. You accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, we are sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. We can't lose this. We can lose reward, and that's what the concern is that Paul has for them. We saw that at the end of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, because he says in verses 19 and 20, if you look there real quick in chapter 2, in 1 Thessalonians, verse 19 and 20, it says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy." In other words, Paul wants to see the people that he led to the Lord and discipled and invested standing at the judgment seat of Christ when that day comes, that they are being rewarded. Think of the parent when their child graduates from high school and how proud you are that they do that. All right, or college, whatever the case is. Whatever the case, it's like that. That's it's the same idea that Paul has for the people that he has worked with in a relationship with the Lord. He wants to see them at the ultimate graduation day, the judgment seat of Christ, and that they are rewarded for the work that they've done, continuing to press even through all the trials and tribulations, that they're standing there firm in their walk with Christ. That's what Paul wants. But if that doesn't happen, then it's labor in vain. And that's why Paul is saying here, it's like, I've got to know your faith. I got to know how you're doing. If you're starting to weaken because of what the tempter is doing, then I got Timothy here that's going to help comfort you and establish you and help you get through this, because you know what? We don't want that work, that investment that we had to be in vain. I want you to look at three references and then we'll be done. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look down in verse 10. It's that great chapter that talks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the thing to remember, that he just didn't die on a cross. He wasn't just buried. But after 3 days, he resurrected. And that's why we have the hope that we have in him, that we die, that we will be resurrected. But I want you to notice what Paul says here in verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 10. Paul says this. He's talking about his apostleship and how the Lord saved him and how he saw the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this in verse 10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul says, God's grace has made me what I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. And that is true for every one of us that accept Jesus Christ. He has given us his grace to be able to accomplish whatever purpose that God has for us. And he wants to have his grace work in us mightily. In other words, salvation is not the end of it all. It's the beginning. It's like having a kid, all right? It's like, it's not the end of it. Well, that'd be something. I mean, you think we'd be getting out cheap, right? All right? Have a kid, pay the hospital bills, and then you're done. All right, cool. Guess we have that experience. No, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of teaching and training and doing this and blah, blah, all the other stuff that you got to do. And we just have one kid. All right? It's like, that. It doesn't stop with the birth. It only begins. Well, the same thing with our relationship with Christ. Accepting Christ is just the beginning. He's got an adventure for you. And we got to grow and be ready, and we're going to go through some things. But Paul says, don't take God's grace and just do nothing with it. You look in 2 Corinthians, just the next book over. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. And this is a church that, again, they're the carnal Christians. They go through all these different problems that Paul's got to address in 1 Corinthians, and we come back again in the second letter as well. And Paul tells them this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." To take God's grace and his salvation that he gives us and to do nothing with it?
That's emptiness. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to heaven. But God has saved you for a purpose. He has a purpose and a reason for each and every one of us on this planet. There's people in your life that you can reach that somebody else can't. All right? The experiences that you have, even the good times, the bad times, the tough times, God can use that through His grace to minister to others. I talked about having kids, and it's like, just the other day, this week, and somebody asked me, you just have the one kid? I go, yeah. Yeah, we had 7 miscarriages. 2 before Andrew and 5 after that. Had no problem getting pregnant. Keeping a pregnancy. And the 7th and the last time was when we were in Canada. And it was not good. I mean, Trish had to be taken to the emergency room, and it was not good. And we're very thankful for the one child we have. I call my child 28 going on 29. Because that's more than sometimes what people even get. Some people are not able to have any kids. So I'm very thankful for my only begotten son. Incredible kid. And I'm so thankful that I was able to spend this last week with him. If there is one thing I wish I can just zap into everybody's heart and mind is an understanding. Man, God saved you with a purpose. And it's such an incredible adventure to be able to see God use you, His grace, in the lives of other people. I can't tell you the high in experience. And if you've seen it and you've been part, you understand what I'm talking about. But to see people's eyes light up when they understand what it is to have a relationship with Christ, to be able to see them be used of God. That's why Paul was so concerned about his investment. That's why he would tell them these things over and over and over again, because he wanted them to stand strong through the trials and tribulations of life. Last reference, we've seen it before, but I want to end it with this. I want you to go back to the book of Philippians, chapter 2 this time. Philippians chapter 2. And pick it up in verse 14. We've seen this so many times, and I've used this passage so many different times, even going through 1 Thessalonians, but in the light of today's message about repetition and making sure we hear it and see, I want to go to this one more time. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 14 and read down through verse 16. It says this, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Man, that's a hard verse to do. Easy to understand. I'll be honest with you. I'm probably guilty of not doing this verse probably almost on a daily basis, especially when I have to go to work. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Why? "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." I don't think there's not a one of us in here that can look at what's going on in our world today and deny this, that we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's a fact. But what are we supposed to do with that? It says, "Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." It's our vision, right? Preach the word today. "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Paul says that, look Philippians, if I know it's a dark and perverse world, very dark, but you are light in the Lord. I want you to shine that light. And you're going to do that by holding forth the word of life. If you do that, Philippians, man, I'm going to be sitting there rejoicing when the Lord comes back and we're at the judgment seat of Christ and you're being rewarded. You're being married to Christ. You're going to rule and reign with Him throughout all eternity. I'm going to rejoice to see that day. But if you don't do that, then it's just labor in vain. Have any of you ever had the experience of, maybe you, I don't know, I can give you 1,000 different examples. Storm comes up, limbs fall down, clean it all up in the yard. Next thing I know, here comes another storm and there's more limbs down. It's like, why even try? Like New Mexico, I think they got the best thing there. People don't have grass. It's just earth. It's just dust and dirt, rocks, whatever. I'm like, how much money I would have saved if I lived in New Mexico, I think. I don't know. At least I wouldn't be mowing. But thanks to my good friend Arnold, I have an awesome lawnmower, so, you know, it kind of makes mowing fun. It's, I don't like picking up all the limbs. That sort of thing. We've all experienced something that we have put labor and effort into, and all of a sudden it's just like that. It's like, man, what? Well, that was worthless. We all can share our stories. Paul is like, I don't want my investment in your life for eternity to be something that's going to end up being vain. Yeah, you're in heaven. I get that. Praise God for that. But God has intended so much more for us as believers of Christ on this planet. There are people, get this right now, there's people you know that need this truth. They need to see that example. They need the investment. You need to be there to be able to answer their questions. And it may be the same question over and over again. That's okay. That's okay. Here, let me explain it to you again. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. Thank you for your word. I always come to it and I think, man, there's I know there's somebody else that can explain it a lot better. I know there's more that can be done with it, but Father, I just pray that you take what we're able to have seen today. We want to really to continue to think and meditate on it and see how you would apply it to our lives. Well, that's a great thing about your word. That's a great thing about the Spirit of God, that you can work in all of our hearts to work in all of our different areas of our lives that we need it. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to take the grace of God that you have given us as believers in Christ and use it for your glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.